want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 202 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on May 4th, 2011. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Head Hard Hat.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and we love to hear from our listeners. That number is 206-350-3GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Montu, it's just me and you tonight. Well, at least for this opening part. It is our cash or coffee, so it is going to be an open kind of chat night for everybody. But, you know, it's Daryl's sick. He messaged me, I think, yesterday or this morning saying, it doesn't really look good for me. I've got my throat really hurts. I'm home without a voice. So if he was here, it would just be a quiet night from him because he can't do much talking. So it's just me and you here in the opening.
That's true, but this is Head Hard Hat. That's okay.
Did I call you Montu?
It's yeah.
Wow.
That's all part of the fun. It's habit. It is. No, don't even worry about it. But yeah, it's been fun. And you know what? I know this has got to be driving Daryl crazy because he absolutely loves talking about geocaching, and especially with all the fun topics that we can talk tonight.
Being
a cacher coffee.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I can't even claim that I've done much since last week except for, you know, sit and wait out the rain. It's been so rainy, and the days that it's been sunny, it's been a little bit chilly, but it's been raining a lot here. How about yourself there?
It's been on and off, a lot of thunderstorms. You know, the spring this year has been extremely turbulent, and you can tell by all the tornadoes and bad weather that's been going on. But in between the raindrops, yeah, I actually got to go out doing my lunchtime geocache of the day, which I feature on my blog, which is getting rather popular. The cool thing that happened today, though, was really neat. I was actually out looking for a geocache, and all of a sudden I start hearing this rustling behind me, and I'm like, what is it, squirrel, dog? You know, chipmunk, what is it? And it was the owner of the geocache.
She had actually
seen me because I'm probably about, I don't know, 30-40 feet into the tree cover, and she had just been driving by on her lunch break, happened to see me, and came over and said hi. So that I always love one meeting geocaches out in the field, but when you actually get to talk with the owners of the geocaches, that's really kind of cool.
Well, you know, yeah, that is. And, you know, I saw that you had a cool geocache that you found there that was hidden in plain sight. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, one of the things that I really enjoy, and I hope a lot of other geocachers that get the opportunity to go out during the lunchtime breaks and do geocaching, you get to come up with some really unusual finds. This one in particular, it's what I kind of refer to as hide in plain sight, and we'll put a link up to my blog post that actually shows it. But literally on this semi-deserted intersection on a telephone pole is this one-inch diameter, about a foot long, piece of PVC pipe that had a cap in a on both ends. You unscrew the bottom of it, and out comes the actual geocache itself. And literally written right on the front of it, it literally has the word geocache. So you can't mistake what it is. And one of the things that I had asked to our readers was, how often do you think something like this is there, where geocaches are hidden in plain sight and people ignore it every day?
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. And I hear that I see that you've got that on your blog. So we'll link to that in our show notes.
Garmin released on Android and what you would see are iOS apps for opencaching.com. Matter of fact, I just, for you guys to know, I just literally loaded it onto my Android. It loaded smooth. It looks like it's going to be something for opencaching.com that'll be very useful for people that want to use that geocaching service. Great thing to check out. We'll have a link on our show notes. The second thing and the big thing that we're going to talk about tonight is the geocaching.com UI and performance updates. If you haven't had a chance to check out geocaching.com, don't go now, but when you get a chance, get out there and check it, and we're going to talk about it tonight.
Geocaching question of the day. The bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the bad cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you cached in four or more states in one day? 37% of the well-traveled geocachers that replied said yes, they had cached in four or more states in a single day. What about you? Have you cached in four or even more states in a single day? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, tonight, like I had said earlier, we are doing an open caching cacher coffee night tonight. Excuse me.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it is. And what that basically is our open time of the month where we have a, kind of like if you were to go to a meet and greet, you could just kind of chat about whatever you want. There's no specific set topics. I mean, obviously tonight we're going to bring up the groundspeak updates that everyone's talking about. But, you know, if you want to ring in tonight, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. Our talk ID is 7525. If you're in our chat room, you should already be unmuted and just go ahead and talk. So let's go ahead and bring up this topic about the new updates here. The main thing that you're going to know is the front page is so cleaned up. It's updated. It's new. It looks a lot different than before. It's a shorter form. You don't have to scroll nearly as long. They've moved the menus to the top. And which is, it kind of threw me off the first time I saw it because, you know, I'm used to seeing the menus on the left-hand side and getting what I need to on the left-hand side. And, you know, so for me, it's a little bit different and the wording is different. So it takes me a little bit to get used to the new site, but I do definitely like it. The other thing that you're going to notice is that there's a massive database update. And so there should hopefully be faster. Now, I've seen it myself and had a few people grumbling that it seems like it's still running on the old hamsters, if you will, because it seems like the site is still a little bit running slow.
Yeah, it's definitely slow for me here where I was testing it out earlier today. But what I have to admit is I do really like the new crisp look that it has. It's a lot clearer, a lot easier to read. One of the things that I really like is below at the bottom section, it actually has now a scroll showing the different types of activities that are going on all over the place. And I think that's a really plus.
Yeah, that is definitely a plus because it's kind of nice to see, you know, as live what's happening as far as the logs that are being sent in live. So you can kind of get an idea of what's going on right now on the site. Now, the couple other things, you know, that are minor updates to the site is they've added a line to the stats page that announced the next cache find milestone, one that will be. They've also added a new attribute to identify Groundspeak sponsored caches, and I know that this is going to be a hot topic tonight. We were talking a little bit about it before the show here, you know, because we've seen Groundspeak sponsored travel bugs, and we've seen Groundspeak sponsored, I guess the Ape Cache is considered a sponsored cache, but that's been so long ago. So what's going on here? Are we going to have, do you think, more sponsored caches, and what's that mean? You know, we were talking about it. What's your take on it?
I think with something like this, it's going to really depend on what Groundspeak wants to do with this. Normally, when you're talking sponsors, money is a big factor. In other words, to pay for sponsorship, to have your name put out there, your logo, whatever is involved with it, a lot of times, no matter where you go, there's some type of fee involved. So are they going to go through and have fees to have a sponsored type geocache? That's an interesting question. There's always that Coke and Pepsi defense when it comes to this that I've seen talking to other of our viewers. A lot of people don't want to have the sponsored type geocaches. They want to keep it as pristine and non-sponsored as possible. And yet I can personally come up with ideas for myself. You know that I have an internet TV show. I do geo snippets. I do some other things. I would love to have the ability to have sponsored geocaches placed out there, even if it's only temporary.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I like the fact that it's going to be an attribute. That way we can go ahead and kind of filter it out if we don't want to see those type of things. But I mean, what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, it's, I like the fact clean user profile. Cause I mean, if you sponsor them, then it gets to the point of, okay, what kind of quality is this? What's the reason this is out here? You know, why is Groundspeak saying that this is okay? What can we, you know, I guess that's just, to me, I guess a little bit strange. And I mean, I guess I like the idea, but at the same point, I mean, it's one thing to do like a commercial type cache where like if you're the business owner and you don't do that. But again, you know, that's against the rules. As myself, I can't go ahead and put that out there. And as far as I know, I can't put the Groundspeak sponsored icon on there, or not icon, but the attribute on there just because I want to. It has to be through Groundspeak. So I guess, how does this work as far as what's, you know, what gets put in here, what doesn't?
Yeah, it's going to all boil down to what kind of rules and regulations they're going to have with this. And they're going to have some type of, you know, policy that's involved with this, because depending on what you sponsor, and, you know, is this a family-orientated kind of sponsor? Is this something a little more out of the family realm? I mean, you know, it's all going to depend on what they're going to define on what sponsorship is and what's involved.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it's one of those things we'll have to let it play out. You know, obviously these updates are really, really, really fresh. You know, the server came back on just later or earlier this evening, and so we haven't really had a whole lot of chance to play around with it. I'm only reading that, you know, from the show notes. I've not seen that specifically myself. You know, I can see the front page, but I haven't seen the actual Groundspeak sponsored icon, because I don't, as of I know of now, the only ones that would be technically Groundspeak sponsored would be the Ape Cache. And so, you know, and I guess that one, I guess, you know, my feelings are that Ape Cache is okay, because it's been around and it's one of those things. But what happens, you know, is that, how does that work? Or what exactly, you know, someone in the chat room, Dudley Grunt, had said that Groundspeak sponsored, as it maybe talking about something that Groundspeak itself is sponsoring, like not a third party. So like, what if, you know, they're sponsoring this cache because they think it's good, or they want to, you know, they're paying someone to put this out, or I don't know, but maybe it's not a third party sponsored. Like, you know, it's, but if it's sponsored by themselves. So I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, don't they already have the new icons that are available already? It would be interesting to see how they differentiate that.
Yeah, it definitely would. And, you know, I guess I can't talk a whole lot about this, because I, you know, obviously we don't really know much about if it's, you know, like we've talked before, you know, we don't know much about this yet. I'm interested to see how it turns out here. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Give us a call. If you're here in the chat room, 724-444-7444. And our ID is 7525. If you want to ring in on this later on, our voicemail is 206-350-3GPS. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. My head.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you did actually have one other topic with the update that I did not get a chance to see yet, and I was hoping you did, about all map links now use the beta map.
Yeah, by default, they go to the beta map. I believe you can still switch back to the old maps, but they're, by default, when you link to it, they link to the beta maps. Obviously, that's where they're pushing, so they want to get everyone used to that. So they do all link to the beta maps now.
Now, I wonder, because I did use the Pocket Query earlier, and it looks like you still can use Google Maps when you click on the icon in the Pocket Query room.
Yeah, and the new maps still use the Google Maps. It's just a little bit different the way that they do it. But yeah. Now, again, tonight, guys, this is an open chat night. You guys want to talk, just go ahead and ring in with whatever you want to talk about, geocaching related. If you want to talk about the site update, that's great. If we want to talk about something else, that's really cool. And, you know, I've had a really cool story that I heard this week from Team Search Go, and they're actually on the line with us tonight. Or Search Geo, I'm sorry. Can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, sure. This is something that's, you know, taking place over like the last 6 months. what it was is my sister, and I don't want to get into too much of that because I'll start welling up here a little bit, but last year she passed away from ovarian cancer. You know, something she fought for about 3 years. And after that all happened, I had bought a travel bug and had it kind of sitting around, and it was actually my first one that I'd ever bought, and I had it sitting there, just didn't know what to do with it. And after she passed away, I just started thinking about it. I thought, you know, this would be great to make a travel bug for ovarian cancer awareness, because it is a disease that can be, you can have it for years and not realize that you even have it. So I talked to my sisters, and I have five sisters and two older brothers, and they were like, yeah, this sounds great. So they got a bunch of stuff together, you know, little trinkets of things that were important to them. And my sister, they used to do a girls weekend thing, and just some earrings and stuff like that. And you have the cancer wristbands and that kind of stuff. So we put that all together, and I put it in a bag, and I took it to one of my caches that I have up the street for a start, and took it to another cache that was for an ovarian cancer awareness walk. And then we decided, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there, but we decided to put it at Spring Grove Cemetery, which is where my sister was laid to rest. And Spring Grove Cemetery, like I said, I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's just this huge, huge cemetery. I mean, people go there like and have wedding pictures taken there. It's almost kind of like a tourist attraction more than it is a cemetery. And wow. It's just a beautiful place. Yeah, it's got – and a gentleman had put a mystery cache there that had 11 stages. So we got the whole family together, and I said, you know, this would be great. We'll go do this and put this in there. So we went and did it. Well, you know, we were kind of rookies at the time, and we didn't make it through the whole thing, but we did. And I won't tell you where the cache is at, but we figured out where it was at, and, you know, you have to kind of ask for it, and went and got it so we could put this in there. Because I had my mom with me, and she's like 90, and, you know, sisters, brothers, and some relatives along. So we wanted to make sure it got in there. So I go ahead and put it in there, and I never did sign or take that as a fine because we haven't finished it, and we're going to go back later on this year to finish it. And what happened was is the guy that actually did that cash, he comes in every once in a while because it don't get done a lot because it does take some time to do. It takes you up to probably two and a half hours to do this. And he grabbed the travel bug that we put in there, and a couple weeks later, he took it to an event. It was a platinum event for a person who had 10,000 caches. Wow. So it was placed in there. And it kind of sat in there. And, you know, the event was over, and it had been archived, and it sat in there. Nobody grabbed it. Nobody retrieved it. Nobody did anything with it. Time went on, you know, and this was back in November, and a few people, you know, put that they discovered it, and you know, so that was kind of encouraging. But months went on, and you know, we had a really rough winter here, so there wasn't a whole lot of caching going on or anything like that. And winter, you know, start getting over, and one of my sisters says, hey, you know, what's going on with the TV? And I said, you know, really, I don't know. So what I did is I went back to the event, and I looked at all the people who logged it. And I started sending them some messages. I said, hey, you know, we're just kind of worried, you know, where this is at, if anybody had seen it. And everybody's saying, no, we didn't see it, you know. So we're talking into going into 4 months now, maybe, you know, close to 5 months since it's missing.
Right.
And I was kind of frustrated. My sisters were just really a little disappointed. And, you know, and so was I. But, you know, I try to explain to them, hey, that happens with travel bugs, geocoins, stuff like that. Sometimes they do come up missing. So, you know, basically what I did is I went on and I just marked it missing. And I kind of debated what we were going to do. I mean, I've got the copy. Where we're going to send that out? And I thought, you know, I'm going to wait a little bit longer. So come Easter Sunday morning. I'm sitting here at the computer just kind of doing some stuff, not, you know, just messing around on the computer, nothing much. All of a sudden, my phone goes off. I got email on my phone. It's actually my work phone, but I've got the email on my phone, and it pops up, and I'm looking at it, and I see this log owner, and I'm seeing this person. I click on it, and all of a sudden, there it is. Somebody found that my travel bug. It's called Mary Beth's Ovarian Cancer Awareness Travel Bug in a cache in West Virginia called Keys to Heaven. And you know, at the time I was just so excited about seeing it. I was just like, I couldn't wait, you know, because I was getting ready to head over to my mom's house where I knew my whole family was at, you know, and I was so excited. So I really didn't even dawn on me being Easter or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, I get the kids together, we head out, and we go over there. You know, first thing out of my mouth is like, you know, somebody just discovered Mary's travel bug in West Virginia. And they're all just, you know, my sisters are crying. My mom's just like, oh, my goodness. You know, it was just unreal. It was just so great. And, you know, it wasn't until a little bit later on that I finally dawned on, I was like, this is Easter, you know? And to have this thing being discovered by this guy, he actually put on there, he goes, what was once lost now is found, just like me. Thank you, Jesus. And said, I've got it and I'll move it on. So, you know, my sisters just, you know, were bawling and crying and carrying on. So, you know, it was just so weird. And I guess most of us, and here I might blow up a little bit on you, but we all talked about it. And we just thought, you know, this is a way of our sister telling us that, you know, she's fine and she's in a better place and, you know, she's good and everything is good. And it was just unbelievable. My sister emailed the person that picked it up and he sent us back a real nice email and everything. So it was just really amazing to, you know, that it just disappeared. Nobody knew where it was at. You know, nobody could answer me. And then all of a sudden, Easter morning, there it is, you know.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now I'm kind of speechless here, so.
Nope, that's a beautiful story. And I'll tell you what, I can add to that just a little bit, not to downplay what you had. That is absolutely amazing. I did something actually similar for my first wife, and I'll give you a little bit of advice with what may happen with yours, because it happens an awful lot with mine. There were times where it would go similar to yours, where it would go for a long period of time, and you would get no response back from the person saying, you know, would you mind putting it back? And then it dawned on me, because several people had written back and said, do you mind if I hang on to this just a little bit longer? It's either a friend or they're going through something right now that's cancer related. And that ends up being something very significant. And to help them get through the therapy or whatever goes with this, I stopped asking. Because it will come back, it will go through, but a lot of times I've had many, many people with this. It's got 22,000 miles on it right now, and it's been in something like 35 countries. It's literally, and it doesn't matter about the language, it doesn't matter about what's going on with it, but it has a significance to a person who finds it, and they use it to help them get through it.
Sure, yeah, and yeah, that was the thing about this. It was left in the platinum event, and nobody ever took it out. You know, that was the weird thing. That's what, you know, kind of got the whole ball started of trying to figure out where it went, because nobody ever pulled it out. So, you know, I kind of looked at who logged in that area and who logged at the event, and I think I know who did it, but, you know, I'm not even worried about that. I just, the way it all worked out, I think it worked out perfect. And it really, I think it kind of helped the whole family, you know. We've been reeling over this. I mean, we just lost her last July. We went through our first Thanksgiving without her, our first Christmas without her. This was our first Easter without her. And, you know, I just think it, for everybody that was there, it was just like, you know, wow, this, you know, I think it just shows that she's in a good place and, you know, everything is fine. So.
Definitely.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Definitely.
No problem.
Now, we did receive some listener feedback about the losing weight with caching episode. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Hey, geocaching podcast and fellow geocachers. It's PumpkinKing27 calling in a comment on episode 201, Losing Weight with Geocaching. There's also an application that I use for the iPhone or iPod Touch. It's just called Lose It. It's a free application. It lets you create a personalized plan. You could track your food and your exercise on there. And it's just like that other application that you had mentioned where you could browse by restaurant or browse by food, and it has all the calorie information on there. Or if there's stuff that you make, you can actually add your own menu item or whatever and add the calories, and then it'll always be in there. And as well as there's a section for the exercise where you could go in there and you could put in what exercise you did for the amount of time you've done it, and it'll calculate how many calories you burned. So it keeps track of it that way also. And the best part is it's free, so if you want to give it a shot, it's just called Lose It. It's in the iPod and iPhone, and I'm not sure if it's on the Android platform, but it's worth looking to see if it is. All right, talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Pumpkin King, for that feedback and that app. Now, Daryl also said that he forgot to mention last week after we were done with the show, he said he forgot to mention that don't watch your weight daily. That's a huge thing. You know, you just got to take little strides at a time because you'll get frustrated if you try to look at it daily, you know, because you won't be losing a whole lot, but just by daily. So definitely don't look at your weight daily. And again, that was feedback from episode 201.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just a quick point on that is that having the ability of having that information where you don't have to do all the calorie counting is so huge, and it makes it so much easier to do all that.
Oh, I bet. And like we said, or at least I know the one time that I tried doing that with those apps and things, I didn't have an app that had that information in it. And so for me, it wasn't very good because I didn't feel like tracking because I would have had to put all of the stuff in there. So again, that was definitely a very cool thing to have that in there. Now, we've had a question via our Facebook app, or Facebook. Someone said that they would want to know what kind of are some examples of what makes a really good 3-3 cache or 4-4 cache and even a 5-5 cache. You know, a 5-5 cache, I've never actually even tried. Well, there was one liar cache that I did that was, you know, to make up a really good story about it. I'm not a fan of the liar caches just because, you know, if I have a 5-5 cache on my finds, I want it to be a 5-5 cache. So we've got some good resources as far as like a rating system and like that. There's lots of different rating systems, and we'll link to all of those the rating systems and the definitions in our show notes. There's Cachepedia, geocaching rating information, Groundspeak has rating definitions, and then there's a geocaching rate calculator. And we'll link to all of those on our geocachingpodcast.com. But as far as like what would make a 5-5 cache, I mean, or a 3-3 or even a 4-4 cache, you know, that's where, I mean, it has to be a cache that's going to be hard to get to. I mean, even 3-3 should be fairly hard to get to, you know, because you have difficulty finding the cache and difficulty terrain. You know, the terrain is going to have to be, for me, a 3 terrain is going to have to be, I'm going to have to do some serious climbing, some serious walking, something like that. What do you think, head hard to hat, about what makes a 3-3, 4-4, 5-5 cache?
Absolutely. Now, I actually have done some 5-5 caches, believe it or not. The main requirement for a 5-5 cache as far as terrain is concerned is usually you have to have some type of special equipment. Now, there are 5-5 caches out there where the special equipment could be a kayak. So it's not necessarily... Now, I have done, and if you've seen some of my pictures every once in a while of me doing silly stuff, I have done things where I've climbed on ledges and climbed up poles and actually done a smokestack, climb up large railroad tracks. There are times and ways of doing that where special equipment is involved. The main thing, and one of the things that you might want to use, and again, we'll put this in our notes, for example, TechBlazer puts out what they call a geocache rating calculator, which makes your life a lot easier trying to figure out, is this really a 3, a 4, a 5, what, by answering a bunch of questions, and it will give you a pretty good rating on what to put for your geocache.
Yeah, and it's been brought up in our chat room, too, that, you know, the rating system is so just kind of... You know, it's all subjective to what you want it to be. And that's I mean, the whole problem with trying to rate your cache, because, I mean, they can give ideas of what a 5-5 cache is and what a 4-4 cache and 3-3 cache is. But you know, it's really a subjective type thing, because you're the one that standing there and deciding, oh, this mountain is really a mountain or it's just a molehill. You know, you've got to decide what's what. You know, to me, climbing a mountain is would be really, really hard work, but there's some people that don't find that very hard at all. And so it's really subjective, kind of.
Yeah, well, you get somebody like myself where for you it might be a 3, for me it might be a 6.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the same thing that we have with you know, the rating system as far as what makes a good cache, you know. And that's why I guess that whole system is subjective too, because it's like, you know, what exactly is a good cache, what isn't a good cache. So you can say that these are the qualities of a good cache, but I mean, you find yourself maybe a good cache is the lamp pole cache, and other people it isn't. Same thing here goes with this. You know, it's really hard to find. There's not really any good way to say what exactly is a 5.5 cache. I mean, obviously,
yeah, these are all guidelines. There's nothing set in stone except for a few minor examples that you'll see at some of the website listings. But for the most part, it's going to be up to the person that does it. And again, experience is another thing. I've seen people that have put out geocaches early on where they haven't had the experience yet, and they may rate something completely wrong and go that route.
Well, and Native Texan in our chat room said that, you know, every time your first lamp pole cache is going to be a hard one, you know, because if you don't know what the lamp pole cache is, it's going to be a hard cache. So if you're finding that for the first time, it's going to be, it could potentially have a 3 difficulty or 4 difficulty if you're the, you know, if you've never done that, or if you've never seen that a lot in your area. But we, you know, in especially in your area, even I would say subjective in via areas too, because if you're in an area where there's not a whole lot of caches, like say light pole caches, that's going to be harder for the people that are around you. But, you know, as soon as those become commonplace, it's going to be really easy to find those caches. And so people are going to know as soon as they walk up to it that there is a cache right there in that light pole. So it's kind of one of those things that again, is going to be subjective to, you know, how many cache types of that are in your area, things like that.
I think one of the big things that happened with that as well is how many times have you had a new geocacher come in the area, and even though from where he came from, this may be a very common way to hide a geocache, but it's brand new for you guys where he just moved into. Again, it has to do with the experience.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Well, I think that's gonna wrap up our show tonight. We missed Daryl tonight, and we hope that Daryl, you're feeling better, so that you can join us again next week. And so, get better, Daryl. Take lots of rest. We want to thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. Join us each Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkTrue service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call 206-350-3GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.